Hello everyone, this is Pastor Alfredo Romero here with Christ Today. Just want to welcome everybody, and I want to give you a couple quick updates before we get started. Usually this program is hosted by John Jefferson, and for those of you that listen to Christ Today pretty regularly, you may or may not have heard that John was actually in a car accident about 3-4 weeks ago, and he's doing a lot better. I mean, thank God the real only injury he really suffered was a pretty bad injury to his left arm. And I talked to him just a couple of days ago, and he's doing better. John hosts this radio program each week, and he talks a lot about preparation. And I know he was prepared, and his faith is making him strong to heal up and recuperate, rely on God during this time. He did have some damage to his left arm that was fairly severe. There was a couple of surgeries. John says that he's now kind of in that healing, rehabilitation process. We're going to pray for John in a minute, but we would pray for a return of the working of his nerves and muscles so he could actually start using his hand again and his arm again. So let me just pray for him real quick. Father God, I thank you for John. I thank you for the fact that you're caring for him. Your word says you are the healer, and we have faith and trust in that. So I just thank you, Lord, that John could have quick healing and return back to the calling that you've had him do with this radio program. So just thank you for your faithfulness. Amen. So anyway, yeah, so John's on the mend. Hopefully he'll be returning soon. I am going to fill in for this spot for a while until he's able to return. And like I said, I think if anybody heard last week, it's really difficult for me always to hear somebody, you know, speak and to kind of like pour into our lives without knowing something about them. I'm a pretty firm believer in that before anybody can truly speak into somebody's life, we need to have some type of relationship with them. We need to be able to know who they are, you know, what they're about. And the Bible cautions us about that, you know, about somebody speaking into our life. Make sure that they're not false prophets or they're not somehow misled or deceived and they're focusing on the one true God, the real Jesus, and moved by an authentic Holy Spirit. So let me tell you again, if you didn't hear last week, a little bit about myself. I am going to co-host Christ Today for a while until John gets back. I met John through this radio program. I would listen to him a lot, and then he came in to visit Rock of Life Church, where I am the pastor at here in Chico. And we just really clicked. I mean, we just really started talking. A lot of things that we focus on in life, we had in kind of an agreement. We actually shared a lot of interest, and a lot of it was about preparation and different ways that believers in Christ, how we are to prepare ourselves for whatever this world throws at us. I mean, how strong is our faith? How strong is our testimony? Are we prepared spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally? So John would come into the church and he'd visit quite often and became a real big fixture at Rock of Life. He was frequently attended our prayer sessions. He is a great prayer warrior, and I know that's what's carrying him through right now. But we got to know each other, and so I'll share a little bit about myself so we get to know each other a little bit. I am the pastor of Rock of Life Fellowship here in Chico. We've been open 7 years. We've been in our current location at the edge of Chico, right off of Bruce and Skyway, 2555 Dominic Drive. And before I became a pastor 10 years ago, I was a worship leader, and I still do a lot of music for the church. But I really invested a lot of time. God had called me to lead worship for a couple of different churches around town, Paradise and Chico. And then I, in probably early 2000 or so, we started this Christian pop rock band. We called ourselves Musicianaries, kind of a rock pop group that went around ministering through music. And it was called JBC. We probably stopped that ministry around 2006. And then I kind of wandered for a while. I kind of figured out what is it God was calling me to do. I still was doing worship leading here and there in various churches. But I just, you know, I poured a lot into Champion Christian School for many years while it was open. And I was the youth, kind of youth leader for the high school and the junior high. And I would give the messages and I would lead the worship. And, you know, I had this great relationship with Pastor, who became a pastor, but the principal, Rick Stout. And anyway, we got this great friendship and we heard this calling for the Lord from the Lord to start a church, a ministry called Rock of Life Fellowship. And that's pretty much what led me here. I am married. I have for 36 years now. And I have two grown daughters and I have grandchildren and I'm a blessed man. And like everybody else, I struggle with things and I want to make sure that I'm having God in control. You know, there's just the way things are working right now in this world. There's a lot coming against us. It's a struggle to keep our faith, to keep our hope, to keep our calm and our peace. But we get all that through Christ. We get all that through serving a God that's our hope, that's our He's our mercy. When we don't have it, He's our righteousness. So I just give you that kind of quick update. Well, okay. So let's start what we're going to talk about today. Pick a topic. I mean, there's a lot of stuff we could prepare ourselves for against this world. It seems like everything's being thrown at anyone who calls himself a Christian or a believer in Christ. We talked about that last week. We talked about how people nowadays, they don't care. There's all these wars and battles and fights and divisions and arguments and differences over ideologies and sexuality and politics and the education of children, pandemics and government, and climate and money and crime and legal battles, race. I mean, you just name it. And it seems like everything's just a mess right now. What we basically did last week is we talked about, you know, what is going on in the world? There's a lot of people that has questions right now. I know at our church, there are a lot of people are starting to walk back in after not being in a church for a while or never walking into a church. And they have questions. They want to know what's going on. They want to know why is the world falling apart? And we went through Matthew 24, basically saying that, you know, the end times and the last days, things are going to fall apart. There'll be wars and threats of wars. But don't panic. These things have to take place and the end won't follow immediately. But you're going to see wars, nation against nation and kingdom against kingdom. You know, famines and earthquakes in parts of the world, but this is just the first of many birth pains and more to come. And then in Matthew 24, it continues saying, you know, and if anybody's a believer, anybody says Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, in Him I put my trust, you know, we could be arrested, and that's happened and happening, persecuted, and that's happening and happens, and you'll be killed. You'll be hated all over the world because you're my followers. And many will turn away from me and betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Sin will run rampant everywhere, and the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. And listen, bookmark this, because this is this is pretty much our topic for today. And the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world so that all nations will hear it, and then the end will come. Now, we read that. And every time I read it, man, I just get chills. It's crazy because you look at the world and you're going, wow, that's exactly how right on is God's word, whether people believe it or not. How perfect is it that everything that's happening right now has already been foretold? It's already been said this is going to happen. I mean, in detail. And it just talks about that in the last days, like even in 2 Timothy, it talks about 2 Timothy 3 talks about how people are going to be boastful and proud, and they're only going to love themselves and money. They're going to be disobedient to parents, and scoffing at God, ungrateful. Nothing's going to be sacred anymore. Like just every taboo and everything is acceptable, and just breaking down all the moral values and everything. The word says in verse 3 that they'll be unloving, unforgiving. They'll slander each other. There's no self-control. Hedonism, everything just goes. Anything goes. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They'll betray friends. They'll be reckless, puffed up with pride and love pleasure rather than God. They'll act religious, but they'll reject the power that God can make them godly. Because there's a lot of people out there worshiping things that God created, but they have no idea who God is. So that is, every time I read that again, it just drives me up a wall because that's what we do with every day. So here's our focus for today. I'm going to pick it up here. So if you're a believer in Christ and you've accepted Jesus as Savior, you think about all this and the anxieties that we might deal with and the stress and strife that comes from dealing and living in a world that's basically insane, going crazy. What do we do now? That's our question for today. What now? What do we do? You know, there's people rejecting God everywhere. Do we let them do their own thing? Yes and no. How do we prepare for what this world is going through right now when we call ourselves believers, when we know Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior? What do Christians do in a world that's falling apart? I know you could answer that in many different ways. You can say, well, you know, take care of our ministry, focus on our families first, make sure that we're taken care of, focus on our church group, our families, fellowship in the church, focus on God's word. And those, it's all correct. There's no wrong answer when you're obeying the will of God. And the focus today is going to be, how do we still, as Christians, share the gospel? How do we tell the good news to a world that wants nothing to do with God? And we even talked about it last week. People are throwing God out everywhere. Nobody wants to hear about God anymore. And I say that kind of exclusively when I say the word nobody. But if you look at it, it just seems like there's a smaller group of people willing to hear the gospel. And it's true. It is. So I told this to people in church, because we can't force anybody to do anything. You know, we can't force the gospel on people. But I tell this to my church. It was a message probably about a year or two ago. There is three sections, and one of them matters. And here's the first section. People that don't want to hear about God, or they've heard about him and they've basically declined God. Okay, so if you're taking notes, think about this. The first group is people that reject God. They just reject him. They've heard the gospel, or they don't want to hear it, or just they don't care. All right, that's the first group. The second group is the believers, the true believers in the true one holy Bible. And they're, whatever their relationship with God is, however the maturity level is or what they're going through, they truly know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And they understand what the good news is. Then they're on the second side. Well, God says there really is only two sides, those that are for him or against him. So that makes sense. So what's this third section? It's the one that God talks about, that the ones that have heard the gospel and they have yet to make up their mind. They will either accept or deny the gospel at one point. There is a very large, large group of people that haven't made up their mind yet. And so here's the problem with that. They better hurry. People need to get off the fence. Because if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and you don't see a need for a Savior, and something happens, whether it's through an unfortunate circumstance of someone's death, or, you know, there's the Lord's return, or, you know, whatever may happen. I'm trying to be delicate about that. But should you die, is what I'm trying to say. Should something happen to you and you haven't accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that's what we're going to talk about today. Well, what happens when somebody refuses the good news? And that's what we want to talk about today. Because we can't force anyone to do anything. But here's the problem. That group in the middle, they're diminishing. They're getting smaller. And that's what the Bible talks about. The Bible talks about these people that are hearing the gospel and making up their mind. They're saying yes or no. And that group in the middle is getting smaller and smaller. God says he's not going to wrap things up on this earth until everyone has had a chance to hear the gospel, the good news, the offer of salvation, and they've made up their mind yes or no. So that group in the middle, folks, is getting smaller by the day, by the minute, by the second. I have never seen such a great divide as I've seen now. And I'm 60. And, you know, since I was a small child, I got a pretty good memory. I can remember all the people that rejected the gospel or denied God in my lifetime or the ones that believed in Christ. I've seen that. I've seen that. So I would tell you that that group is getting smaller and smaller and smaller. More and more people. If you look at the news, if you look at media, if you look at the movies that are coming out, the TV shows coming out, there are definitely people that are making a stance of either being for God or against him. And that's what Jesus says. Hey, Jesus said plainly, hey, look, you're for me or you're against me. And so that begs the question that I started off with at the beginning of this program. What do we do about that? If we're believers in Christ and we're truly saved, and we've repented and said, Lord, I need you. I need a savior. I don't want to go through this life without you. I'm sorry. I don't want to live the life that I've been wanting to live. I want to live the life you want me to live. It's not my will to be done. Your will be done. And forgive me. And I know you died for me, Christ. And I just want to be with you for eternity. I reject this world. I confess you are Lord, right? So how do we portray that to the people that are not saved yet? And in faith, I like calling them the pre-saved, you know, and there are people that are deciding they don't want anything to do with God. But how do we as Christians tell people the good news? How do we do that? In a world where the media and the news, the movies, the TV shows, they're projecting and depicting Christians as these ignorant, loudmouth people, so opinionated, so hateful, with these bullhorns that are condemning people and just saying nothing but you're going to hell, you're going to hell, you need to be perfect like us. They portray Christians to be a bunch of fools. And I could rattle, I'm a big movie buff, I could rattle off dozens of movies that I've seen in the last 20 years that have portrayed a very inaccurate depiction of God's people. They portray them to be hateful. And I just said it. I don't want to redo it again because it's pretty tough. But wacky. We're wacky. We're fools. We're Jesus freaks, Bible thumpers, wacky people that are just off the edge, that we're not in touch with reality. Well, what we don't want to be in touch with is this world. I don't want to be in touch with this world. This world has nothing that offers us. The world offers us nothing. Nothing of value. Nothing that's eternal. It's all temporary. Fleshly waste. I think Paul calls it, it's just waste, garbage, excrement. Nothing that this world offers is of worth of any value. All right, so now I tell you, I'm going to be really blunt. And if you just joined us, I'm Pastor Alfredo of Rock of Life Fellowship here in Chico, and I'm in for John Sheffenson, who's on the mend from a car accident. But I'm going to tell you straight up, for those that know me, I shoot pretty openly. I'm pretty open. I'm pretty blunt. I'm going to tell you, some of us Christians, we've gone off the rails and we've earned some of the stereotype that's been thrown at us. We were supposed to share the gospel and to live our lives in a way that shows our faith in Christ, that no matter what happens in our life, we can still move forward and walk in faith and we can still live our life despite the trials and tribulations. We're supposed to hold up our end as far as sin. And if we should mess up, we're supposed to get right back up, repent, keep moving forward, and always point to Christ. But admittedly, some of the so-called leaders and pastors and Christians, they've gone way, way off the deep end. I mean, let me put it this way. Every time in the last X amount of years that I've turned on the TV and I saw some religious leader trying to share the gospel, sitting on a throne with gold jackets on and lighting everywhere, and the background looks like they're in some type of a mansion with castles, and they're talking more about money and the health and the wealth, and that's another subject I believe in biblical prosperity. You know, I even don't like that word anymore because I think they've messed up a lot of words and they don't mean what they should mean biblically. But I know God wants us to do well despite any of the circumstances. And yes, we have trials and tribulations. But it's an imbalanced gospel. It's an imbalanced world. And it's basically saying, hey, when you become a Christian, the whole point is you get a lot of stuff. And a lot of really great stuff happens to you. That's not the gospel. That is not the gospel. Because the thing about a lot of people that are out there that are asking and wondering, they're asking us, why do I need a savior? Are we prepared as Christians to really explain the gospel so that people have a chance to hear? Because God's going to put us in situations, folks. And it happens to me every week. Every week I find myself in a situation where I'm in a position to share the gospel with somebody, to share about Jesus. And whether it's, now get this, whether it's through my words or my actions and how I hold my life and who I let hold my life, basically. Are we as Christians prepared to share the gospel to somebody in today's culture where the world is trying to make sure the gospel is not heard? It is a challenge to every Christian to know what is the good news, what is the gospel, because there's a lot of so-called leaders out there that are sharing a gospel that's not connecting with people because it's not accurate. It is not about seeking the hand of God. It's about seeking the face of God. It's not seeking what God can do for us. It's seeking what we can do for God. It's not about what I can do to gain salvation. It's what Jesus did to offer us salvation. God's grace, God's mercy. So how do we approach this? So the focus now is going to be basically, okay, let's say two scenarios. The first one is, let's say you're a believer in Christ and you're standing in front of someone that wants to know about your faith. You're standing in front of somebody that you have an opportunity to share the gospel with. Scenario number two, if you're listening to this message and that's you, the person who wants to hear the gospel or hasn't heard it yet. Those are the two scenarios we're going to talk about. What do you do when you're the person that has an opportunity to share the gospel? And what do you want to hear or what don't you want to hear when you're the person who hasn't heard the gospel yet or hasn't made the decision? Maybe you've heard it, the good news about Jesus, but somehow it never stuck. It just didn't make sense to you. Or the person explaining it to you just didn't make sense to you. All right, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go through those two scenarios, but I'm going to explain some things. 2 Timothy 4 says, I solemnly urge you in the presence of God in Christ Jesus, who will someday judge the living and the dead when he comes to set up his kingdom. He's talking to Christians. Preach the word of God. Be prepared, whether the time is favorable or not. No matter what situation you find yourself in, whether you've got to get to an appointment or whatever, be prepared whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently. I'm going to say that again. Patiently. I got some people I know that want to preach the gospel, and that word has eluded them. Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth and chase after myths. But you should keep a clear mind in every situation. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Work at telling others the good news and fully carry out the ministry God has given you. That is powerful. That's basically saying that, hey, if I'm going to preach the word of God to somebody, if I'm going to share about Jesus, the good news, that I better make sure that I've listened to some sound teaching here. I don't want to be messed up. If the very first thing I tell people is, and you may or may not agree with this, but I'm going to tell you what the word of God says. If I'm going to shout at them, if I'm just going to condemn them, that's not preaching the gospel. I remember one time I was working on the university here in Chico State, and they had the free speech area. And, you know, when you're talking to students and you're talking to people in their teens, late teens and 20s, you know, I went to college, I get it. It's so much about you. It's so much about the fullness of your life, and you feel invincible. And college students, you're starting your life and you're excited and you're exploring things, you're discovering things. And unfortunately, a lot of stuff that you discover and you explore, it's not good for you. That's not good for us. I know some of the things I did was definitely not good for me. So it's very difficult. And we need to make sure that if we're going to share the gospel to that generation, that we do it in a way that, first of all, God tells us to do, gently, lovingly, and boldly, and clearly, and don't hold back on what the good news is. So this I'm walking through the free speech area, and there's this gentleman, and he's, you know, you hear about the guy with the bullhorn shouting, "Repent, you're going to go to hell." Well, that's basically what he was doing. He was standing there, and I'll quote some of the stuff. He was saying, "You students, you young people, you're heathens. You're going to go to hell. You're sinning. You have to stop having sex. Stop doing drugs. You need to stop because you're on a road to hell. You don't know who Jesus is. You need to know who Jesus is." And the students around him were yelling. I saw maybe a couple of people somewhat calmly listening to him, and I don't know what's going through their mind. But the majority of the students were just yelling back at this gentleman, just shouting him down. You could barely hear this guy. And he said, "You're heathens. You're sinners. You need to repent. You need to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You're on the way to hell." Okay. Is that doctrinal? Is that biblical truth? Yeah, sure. But is that the gentle way, the loving way? Is that focused on the love of Christ? Is that a challenge? And here's my biggest problem. The need for a Savior. The need for a loving, gracious Savior. A Jesus that wants to save us from all that stuff that guy was describing. The pain of our decisions, you know, the sexual morality, the selfishness, the hurting people, the gossip, the arrogance. It needs to be explained in a way that you don't hold back what the gospel is. But, okay, and then here's the reverse side of that. The reverse side about that is that 2 Timothy talks about that people won't listen to sound, wholesome teaching, that they'll follow their own desires and look for teachers that will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. Yeah, you have some people out there talking about that the gospel is about what God will do for you. You know, yeah, when you accept Christ, your life gets so much better. No problems. Nothing but health. And God will give you things. God will bless you with a lot of material things. You know, you can drive nice cars and live in nice homes. And if you don't think that's true, boy, turn on some of these radio programs. Search YouTube. You've got people making sure that note that they don't offend anybody with the gospel, that to make sure that they don't talk to them about the gospel in a way that might challenge them or make them think or, you know, hurt their feelings. And I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. If I talk about hell, if I talk about disappointing God or not pleasing God, you know, I don't want to like turn anybody away. I want to tell them about all these wonderful things, you know. That's a tough thing. That's a tough thing because that is what's happening out there. So do we as Christians know the scripture? Do we understand what's happening out there? All right. So here's where we're going to go with this. Prepare ourselves to share the good news. Are we ready? And if you haven't heard the good news, boy, what a great opportunity for anybody that's listening to hear what the good news is. The gospel means good news. It's 93 times in the Bible, pretty much in the New Testament, exclusively in the New Testament. The good news is about Jesus and the way of salvation. Salvation from what? Salvation from this world, this temporary broken world that God never intended it to be like this. It had a completely different plan that we rejected from the very beginning. People need to know how and why we need a Savior. And it's not just there's not always going to be trials and tough times. There's joyful times. But why do I need a Savior in this life? Can we gently, boldly, lovingly, firmly, respectfully, with conviction, explain to someone who only wants to hear what tickles their ears? Can we, as Christians, explain the complete gospel? The Old Testament law says we can't keep it. Because of sin and our own will, we fall short of upholding God's standard. Sin is like breaking the law. It has to be punished. Death, which is separation from God, that's in Romans 3:23. In order for us to go to heaven, God's dwelling place in the realm of life and light, sin must be somehow removed. Sin must be paid for, because that's what we are. We were born sinners. In the very beginning, we rejected God and we sinned. We turned away from his ways. And the only way that we could be cleansed was we needed a sacrifice, a blood sacrifice of an innocent life. That's where Jesus comes in. The gospel, or the good news, is that we needed a Savior, and Jesus came in and died on the cross as that sin offering to fully fulfill the law of God, that righteous requirement that we can't do on our own. It's that work of atonement, or a payment for our sin. Well, Jesus did that. He finished that. That's the good news. And John 3:16, which hopefully everybody's heard, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son so that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Remember that word perish for later on. See, the gospel talks about Jesus' resurrection on that third day, how he overcame death. Death for our sins, and because he was resurrected and became alive again, we're raised to life again. It's justification, that's what it's called. And I don't want to use a bunch of Christianese, but the fact that Jesus conquered sin and death, sin's penalty, that's good news, because we couldn't do that on our own. The fact that he offers to share that victory with us, the victory over death, that's the greatest news of all. This is not the world God intended. He wants to save us from choosing the ways of this world over the ways of God. The gospel is good news because our salvation, our eternal life, our home is in heaven. And because of what Jesus did for those that accept him, that's our guarantee through Christ. He's given us like this new birth. So no matter what you've gone through, and when we explain to people, no matter what you've gone through, no matter the tough times and the people that have hurt you and abused you, no matter the mistakes you've done and the self-hurting you've done, we have a living hope through the fact that Jesus came to earth, he lived and he died and he was resurrected again, just so we wouldn't perish. So that if we choose him, that if we confess with our tongues and believe in our heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, God has a place for us in heaven that lasts for eternity. See, the gospel is the good news that when we understand that what we could not do, Jesus did for us. We don't earn our salvation. It's a free gift from God for those that receive it. The gospel is the good news that by the blood of Christ being poured out, our sins have been wiped clean, white as snow. Because God loves us that much that we're going to be called children of God. Because what parent wouldn't want their children with them forever? The gospel is the good news that there is no more condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. That's Romans 8:1. That's the gospel. And get this. A while ago, I said to focus and remember the word perish. Remember that word perish. What happens to us as we're sharing the gospel? And somebody hears that. And we even give testimonies. We talk about our lives and how God saved us from our self-destructiveness. That how God turned my life around. And yeah, I can struggle. And yeah, tough things happen. And yeah, I battle temptation. But God's with me. And when I go through life, I got two choices, because it's going to happen. The good, bad, the in-between. I've got two choices. I can go through life with God and or without him. And it's way better with him. What happens when people hear that and go, no, that's okay. I'm doing fine on my own. Because not everybody hears the gospel. is in some type of frame in their life where they're going through trials and tribulations and sicknesses and diseases and addictions. And sometimes people reject the gospel because, well, everything's going pretty well. I'm doing great. I got a good job. I've got a great relationship with my spouse. You know, my kids are great. Or, hey, I'm just starting my life out. Man, I got a good job. I just finished college. You know, got good parents. Why do I need a savior? Because this, perish. Are we prepared as Christians to explain what that word perish means to those that reject the gospel? Because to reject the gospel is to embrace or accept the bad news. Because for every good news, there's bad news. And how good are we explaining the bad news to people that say, nope, I don't need God. I don't need him. So for the rest of my time here, I'm going to explain that to us. And I'm going to explain that to people that are listening right now that haven't heard this before and haven't accepted Christ. Ugh, tough one, right? Or for people who have tried to explain the gospel, but somehow the people that were listening, they didn't respond. And you walked away going, oh man, I don't know, did I explain the gospel right? Did I do well? There might be something you missed out. And we need to prepare ourselves for that. It is the word, perish. So if somebody you're talking to says, nope, don't need it, don't want it, I'm not interested. All right, so let's explain this. 2 Peter 3:9 says, and it talks about those that are impatient for the Lord's return. And what Christian nowadays with all things going on hasn't said, man, Lord, just wrap it up already. Can you just like blow the trumpet? Da, 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 and then well, we find ourselves being ejected up into the heavens to meet you up in the clouds. Cool. I'm ready for that. What Christian hasn't said that? I probably said that a couple times. Well, 2 Peter 3:9 talks about those that are impatient for the Lord's return. It says, you know, the Lord isn't really being slow about his promise to return, right? As some people think. No, he is being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to perish, but God wants everyone to come to repentance. Now, where have we heard that before? Because a while ago I read John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son so that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. So when most people think of John 3:16, they focus on, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Oh, that's great. Keep reading. So that whoever would believe in him would not perish. What does that mean? So look, we pray that people accept Jesus, basically be reconnected to Father God by what Christ did for us. He reconnected us in a broken relationship. He connected us back together with Father God. He reconnected a broken relationship by God's grace, accepted by faith alone, through Christ alone. His love, eternal salvation, it's peace with God. But when we understand what perish means, and we understand that when we explain the good news, we need to be able to explain to people what happens when they say, no, I reject God. I don't need your God. Don't want your Savior. Basically to say, okay, give me a few more minutes. Let me explain to you what that means when I read you John 3:16. What reject means, what perish means. Oh, this is a tough one because it actually makes me sad. Even when people hear of Jesus' love, sacrifice, heaven, eternity, still they reject God. So what do we do? I want a few more minutes with them. I want to talk to them and tell them what happens when the response is no to Jesus. No to God, no to salvation, no to the being filled with the Holy Spirit, no to heaven. Do they know what hell means? Can we explain hell? Can we explain perish? Because as believers, we can be really good at describing heaven. We can be really good at saying, oh, heaven is amazing. And we get all excited. Oh, it's amazing. Eternity with God and with our loved ones. When we reconnect our loved ones, there's mansions. There's there's neighborhoods, there's this huge banquet table, God has this throne, and there's like angels flying around it, and there's like giant speakers with subwoofers, and there's lightning coming out of it, and it's so cool. And there's yellow brick roads, and they're made out of gold, and there's this like I said, this big banquet table where people are preparing meals for us and praise music all day long, and God has his throne, and it's amazing, and we worship, and it's great, and it's eternity of heaven. No more tears, no more crying, no more fear, no more, you know, no more sadness. It's amazing. And somebody looks at you and says, nah, that's okay. Take a few minutes and say, listen, I want to explain to you what the word perish means. Read John 3:16 again to them. Read 2 Peter 3:9 to them, where it says, God's not coming back so quick. And he's going to come back like in a twinkling of an eye for his people. But some people say, well, why hasn't it happened already? And read to them. He doesn't want anyone to perish. He doesn't want you to perish. And now let me explain what that means. Perish means hell, separation from God, eternal suffering, a lake of fire, gnashing of teeth, eternal separation from the goodness of God. It means that anything good you're going to realize only came from God. It only came from God. That's the only thing that goodness came from. And if you choose not to have a relationship with Christ, if you reject God and the Spirit, what you're going to find yourself in is eternal separation from God. Underline that. Highlight that, because we need to be able to explain that. We need to be able to prepare ourselves. We get emotional. We need to be able to explain that to people. What that means. What is eternal separation from God? Because hell isn't some party where you get to do whatever you want. I know I'd rather lead in hell than serve in heaven, those things we hear. I'll get to do what I want. Yeah, I'll be rewarded in hell. That doesn't happen. Eternal separation from God means that we've chosen a door that we're going to walk in that the word describes as a horrible place. Horrible. And I'm going to read some scriptures that's going to explain that. Revelation 20:10 says, and the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur where the beast and the false prophet had been thrown. They will be tormented day and night forever and ever. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness. This is Matthew 8:12, where they'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth, explaining to people that their choice of eternal separation from God is horrible. You don't want it. Explain it to people. Because when it says gnashing of teeth, when it says torment, you know what that anxiety and that gnashing of teeth comes from? It comes from the anxiety of someone finding themselves eternally separated from God in a place that's evil and dark where there is no goodness. And that gnashing of teeth is like when you're so anxiety-ridden, you're clenching your teeth and you're just going, I don't believe I did this. What did I do? And you're so overwhelmed and you're anxiety ridden and you know there's no more hope and you know there's no more goodness and you know that nobody's going to tuck you in at night. Nobody's going to say the sun will come out tomorrow. Nobody's going to make you feel good, pat you on the back and say, you know, tomorrow's another day. Because in hell, there is no hope. There is no peace. There is no joy. Those are the results of a relationship with God. Those are the fruit of a spirit, the fruit of the spirit described in Galatians 5. Telling people in Matthew 7 that you can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate and the highway to hell is broad and its gate is wide for many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow and the road is difficult and only few ever find it. We need to be able to explain to people what perish means. Perish means finding yourself in a dark place with nothing but people who have rejected God and are so anxiety-ridden, there's no good. Now, I can't describe exactly what hell is. Frankly, I know what the Word of God says, but I never want to experience it. Sometimes I don't want to think about it, but I need to be able to tell people what that means. A place of eternal separation from all that is good. And the only one that is good is God. And there is no getting out of hell free card. So let me step back just a little bit, because I know that's pretty heavy. There are people that seem to think that just leading a good life, being a good person, and having some type of faith in a God is good enough. It's not. It's not. We need to know the good news of the Bible. And that good news comes when we understand who Jesus is and that offer of eternal life from Father God and what it means to receive the Spirit of God. You know what? There's one thing that bothers me, and I really don't mean to offend anybody. I sincerely don't. But I don't like the bumper sticker, coexist. It's made up of all these different symbols of the world's religion. And I know the intent from these people that have that. And if you have it, I don't mean to offend you. I really don't. So hear me out on this one. I know the intent is to say, hey, can't we all get along? Can't there just be peace among all these different faiths? And is a certain part of that true? Not really. Not really. Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. If you know Jesus, you'll know peace. If there is no Jesus, there is no peace. So that message of coexist kind of implies that all paths will lead to one heaven, that all roads are acceptable. Like some people will say that, hey, all roads lead to God. All roads lead to heaven. When I was becoming a pastor, I started going to school 12 years ago, 12, 13 years ago. And after one of our classes, all these young wannabe pastors and some of the leaders and the head pastors, and we all went to lunch and we were talking about this very thing. We were talking about this coexist thing and how everybody, so many people, I shouldn't say everybody, but too many people believe that if you just have some type of faith, any kind of faith in goodness of people, just be good, that somehow that's going to lead to good things after this life and that all roads lead to heaven. And I mean, me being kind of a wise guy, I actually said to, 30 different pastors and wannabe pastor students, I go, well, that's true. No matter what you believe, all roads do lead to God. And they dropped their forks, glasses of tea got spilt, some of the women go, oh, no. The men were like, what? It was pandemonium. People were running for the exits. I'm exaggerating. But I said, no. All roads do lead to God. All beliefs do lead to God. It's called Judgment Day. And they go, oh, okay, we get it now. It was kind of a play on words, yeah. But it is true. No matter what you choose to believe, no matter what we choose to believe, no matter what you think is right and true after this world ends, or we end ourselves in this world, we're done for whatever reason. Our life is over here in this world. Hopefully it's when we're 90 plus years. And look, what I'm trying to say is no matter what the choice is, we all will stand in front of God. And there's only two doors, one that leads to eternal life with God and another door that leads to eternal life and separation without him. That's it. Those are the two choices. See, when we explain that, when we tell people about what those two choices are, when we explain all the wonderful things that God has done for us and what he has for us after we leave this earth, yes, that's where it starts to make sense. When we explain what perish means, that nobody wants that. There's no, like I said, there's no get out of hell free card. The sun doesn't come out tomorrow. There's no more hope. There's mom not going to be there tucking you in, telling you a bedtime story and a prayer to make you feel better. That doesn't happen in hell. When we explain eternal separation from all that's good, when we explain eternal separation from God and all that he has for us, suddenly what we told them in the first part of that gospel message starts to make a lot more sense and becomes a lot more attractive. Oh, okay, wait a minute. Okay, a while ago, when you were telling me about the gospel, okay, now that you told me what this parish means, can you go back and tell me what you meant about when you said that in heaven there's no more tears, there's no more sadness? Because that sounds good, because now I know what parish means. Gnashing of teeth, eternal anxiety, nothing good there anymore. Being sad all the time. We're living in eternally regret for not choosing God, who loves us so much. Okay, now that's making sense to me. Can you explain that again? Now, what do you mean? What? There's really bricks that are gold? And tell me about this banquet table. That's cool. We get to eat with God. And now I'm really curious. I want to see what God's throne looks like. But most of all, what we would really desire them to say, and what, if you're listening to this, and this is the first time you've really heard the gospel, what you really need to focus on is how much God loves you. What Jesus did for you. That's what we need to hear. The love of God. Now things make more sense. Oh, God loved me that much. He gave his only begotten son so I wouldn't perish. Oh, and I know what perish means now. And he's going to save me from all that? And he loves me that much? I'm in. I want that. I want Jesus, because now I understand the need for a Savior. The need for a Savior is to save me from a life separated from God. Oh, the need for a Savior shows me that I get to spend life, eternity, with God, who loves me so much. The need for a Savior, I get it now. I get it. That's explaining the gospel, the full gospel, showing them the love of God and what he saved us from. He offers his love and saves us from perishing. That's a big word. So I hope you guys understand that. I'm telling you, it's powerful. It gets me all worked up. John 3:16-17 again. I'm going to read it one more time. So I'm going to read verse 17 along with John 3:16 now. It is the greatest Bible verse that we can focus on. Why? Because Jesus loves you. And God's desire is for everyone to not perish, but come to repentance, which means turn around, go the other way, do something different, stop going down that road, and go down the other road. Because we'll get to spend eternity with God. John 3:16-17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. It says might be saved. Why does it say the word might? And I got to tell you, when I read that, there's a couple of words that stand out. If you've got a pen and paper, your iPads or anything, your Bibles, would you highlight two words for me in John 3:16-17? Highlight the word so, for God so. Underline the word so. Highlight it, bookmark it, whatever you need to do. Memorize it. And then on verse 17, highlight the word might. Okay? Through him might be saved. Why are those two words important? All right, first word, so. For God so loved the world. That takes on a huge meaning. I did a whole message on this in church one time. It doesn't say, for God loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Why would God add that preposition? I believe it's a preposition. For God so loved the world. So loved the world. Husbands, wives, okay. Boyfriend, girlfriend, you know, hopefully, okay, listen. if wives, you know, ladies, if your husband came home and brought you flowers, or a card or something, or says we're going on a trip, something. And he goes, well, I'm doing this because I love you. I love you. You would go, oh, that's so cool. That's so great. Thanks. But if your guy said, I'm doing this because I so love you. Now we're talking about something. Now we're talking about getting our point across. I just don't love you. I so love you. That's why God put that in there. He doesn't just love us. He so loves us. That's a big difference. All right. Now I can flip that the other way. You know, if your wives came home and they said, hey, we're going to go on a trip. Let's go out for a movie tonight. My treat, whatever. And you go, what is this all about? And, oh, honey, it's because I love you. Or if your wife, woman said, oh, I so love you. Yeah, okay, now all the bells are ringing. There's like you put on a clean shirt, the whole thing, you're ready to go. All right, okay, and here's the other word, might. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And that goes back to what we talked about at the very beginning. People have a choice. God doesn't force this on us. This is our own decision here. And that's another thing we need to explain. It's a decision. We can receive what God offers, or we can say no. We can decline it. For God did not send us this world to did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And we are sharing the gospel and talking the complete gospel and talking about love and perish and the choice. Because not everybody's going to make the choice to spend eternity with God. God help them. Some people are going to go, no. No. No matter what. And that's sad. And that's where we're going to end. I'm going to end with this. I'm going to talk briefly about the Rock of Life in a minute. But I want to end with this. We need to pray. Those that reject God and choose this life over eternal life in heaven with God, we need to pray. We have an opportunity to share Jesus every single day. And it's not just by saying things, it's how we live. Hey, Christians out there, let's work on our testimonies, because a lot of people watch us more than they listen to us. A lot more people will watch how us Christians are living over what we tell them. So, let me pray. Father God, I thank you right now for your word. I thank you for our discussion today. I thank you, Lord, that you loved us so much, God, that you sent your son Jesus to die for us. And he was resurrected so that we would have life and have life eternal. I pray, Lord, that you put people in front of us, that us Christians, Lord, us believers, that we explain and know the whole gospel, the truth of the gospel. Lord, I pray that people that you put in front of us that you would use us to either sow seed or water or be in that position where the Holy Spirit just reaps in that harvest, Lord, of new believers to Christ and to add to the kingdom of heaven. And I thank you, Lord, for anybody that there that's listening right now that may not know Christ, that you have an opportunity right now to receive the Lord and to have eternal life and avoid eternal separation from God, because now we know what perish means. So, Lord, if there's anybody listening right now, I just pray that they would do the acceptance of Christ, believe that Jesus is Savior, and confess our sins and reject the ways of this world, and receive a relationship with you, Father God, receiving the Holy Spirit into their hearts right now and starting that relationship with you, a relationship that will last for eternity. Amen. Once again, this is Pastor Alfredo on Christ Today. I am from Rock of Life Fellowship here in Chico. I'm filling in for John while he's out recuperating from a car accident. Remember, God loves you wherever you are right now and has a purpose for each of us. Jesus is real, always relevant to our daily lives, and wants a relationship with you that lasts for eternity. If you want more information about Rock of Life, please visit our Facebook page, or you can look at our messages on our YouTube channel, Rock of Life Fellowship, or check out our website, rockoflifechico.org. This is Pastor Alfredo, Rock of Life Fellowship in Chico, praying for you. May God bless you. Keep you safe always. God bless you.